Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Hi, I'm ready to preach the word tonight, if that's okay. I'm hoping that it'll be good for you, as it will be for me. I'm looking forward to baptizing. I think we're baptizing five odd people in water tonight. If you came tonight and want to be water baptized but didn't come with the suitable attire, that's okay. Get the phone out of the pocket. We've got some towels and some stuff you can wear later, and we'll jump straight in. Is that okay? I want to read you this story, which is a true story. Well, kinda. It's a parable. Can I read it to you? It's called The Elevator Story. A man dies before his time and finds himself in a waiting room. St. Peter, of course, walks in and passes the man a smart device and then proceeds to inform him that his name is not on the list, but a decision on his eternal destination has not been confirmed. St. Peter continues by saying, "You're in a unique situation. What happens from here is you watch the two videos on the device within your hand. After you've reviewed them, you have 30 minutes to make a decision. When you are 100% sure of your choice, go out the door, turn right, and step into the elevator. Once in the elevator, press the button of your choice." The first video the man watches is all about heaven. There are sweeping meadows with families having picnics, singing songs of praise and sharing the wonders of life. Friendship and intimacy are expressed by playing sport together, creating galaxies and studying the ancient book on the wonders of God. There is no tears, no conflict, just perfect harmony. Lions and lambs graze together. Everything is alive and flourishing. The man notices the absence of the signs of death. No dead leaves, no refuse, no darkness, no discord. A true expression of heaven. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The second video is all about hell. It launches with upbeat party music. There is dance, partying, and an atmosphere of outrageous celebration, an endless supply of alcohol, therapeutic substances, and delectable food. The fashion is provocative and self-centeredness reigns. Perplexed, the man begins to ponder his choice. He acknowledges that heaven sure looks peaceful and joyful, but the attractiveness of hell is undeniable. He leaves the room and heads to the elevator. As he steps in, he immediately presses the up button in small letters. Under the arrow is the word hell. The elevator plummets at breakneck speed and jolts to a sudden stop. Immediately, he can feel extreme heat and intense fear. As the doors open, the heat is suffocating. The angel of death walks in and grabs his hand and begins dragging him out into the chaos of screaming, torment, and explosive heat. He desperately cries out, "Wait, this is not what I chose. Where's the celebration and the welcome drinks?" The angel of death turns to him and laughs. "You saw our social media promo then." The moral through the story: everything is not as it seems. Don't seek greener pastures. Seek the Good Shepherd. When the curtain of earth closes, the veil of eternity is revealed. This life really is a dress rehearsal. Are you ready for the Word of God tonight? It makes five of us. I just want to continue on this thought from this morning so I can do a recap for those that weren't here. I know it's a lot of you, but we looked at this principle of life. How do you end up at a destination? And it's a common principle. I would say it's a universal law. And it goes like this: if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow that character and you reap a destiny. It'll be no surprise at the end of your life what your destiny looks like, because it would have started with this thing called thought. You and I are moving at a rate of knots towards our most dominant thought. Thoughts become actions, actions become habits, habits become character, and your character is what actually determines your destiny. God is more concerned about what you're becoming than he is about what you're achieving. Is that right? With that thought in mind, we looked at the struggle of sin today, and somebody said to me on the way in, "You know, you're at your best when you're most vulnerable." I'm going to try and not be at my most vulnerable tonight, so it's not going to be my best, okay? Because I'm kind of over these therapy sessions that I go through with you. But what I am going to look at is, we looked at the issue of the struggle of sin and how we can overcome that by those three key habits of the confession of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, and the habits of holiness. What I want to look at tonight is where Paul flicked over into the next chapter in Romans chapter 8 and look at what is the real key to this thing called freedom. Would you come with me? Is it okay to read Bible to you? So Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Can I just pause there for a moment and say that's what water baptism is really all about. Water baptism is really about making this stand and saying, I belong to Christ. I may not be perfect. I may not be the holiest person you've seen. You may know my past. You may know the history of my life. You may identify with my sin, but I no longer identify with my sin. I identify with the Son and the new life that he has for me. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Somebody say the Spirit. Just want to see if you're still awake. Those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. Ouch. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Isn't that good news? You are no longer controlled by your sinful nature. Now, you may still sin from time to time, but that does not mean you are under control of your sinful nature, does it? Here, this is the Christians make their biggest mistakes not because they forget they're Christians, it's because they forget they're human. And so one of the keys to life in Christ and being prosperous, victorious, successful, moving into that abundant life that we heard about before is understanding that we are human people. And if there's one thing that humans do well, it's sin, which is to fall short of the standard that God has for our life. Please, when you hear that word, don't think about all the gross things, the grossest sins you can possibly think of. It literally means there's a target ahead of you. That target is what God wants you to hit. That is your standard for life. And as a human, you're going to miss that mark if you try and do it in your own strength. If you try and meet the requirements of God's law, what's going to make you hit that mark is a life lived in the Spirit. Not woohoo, dancing with the stars spirit and freaky spirit, but actually a life lived under the control of the Holy Spirit, led and guided by the Holy Spirit. I wish I could do some of those dances, but I've been told not to in public. So I want to speak into this zone of living a life of the Spirit, being led and controlled, having your mind controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand Bible, if you don't understand spiritual things, it can sound a little bit freaky. I'm sure there's some people here tonight going, wow, this is a bit weird, controlled by the Spirit. But literally it's about forming that relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What we have been given on earth is the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. So when we go into a place of prayer, it is the Holy Spirit who's working with us to lead us and guide us in that life, a life in the Spirit. I have no idea where I am in the Scriptures. Can somebody help me? Oh, verse 9, I don't have the verses in front of me. That's why those who are still under the control of the Spirit, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. There's a good moment. Please don't respond outwardly or with your hands, but right now, the one question you need to answer and understand or recognize is this: do I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me? And I would say that you know that because you have had moments today. You've had moments this week where you've gone to do something and there's been this like apprehension on the inside of you. Don't do that. Like your flesh wants to do it, your body wants to do it, but the Holy Ghost on the inside of you says, stop it, don't. And maybe the first time you heard it loudly, But as you push towards kind of doing that thing, that voice would have got softer and softer. I don't know if you've worked this out yet, but the Holy Spirit tends to be so confident, so secure, a bit like your mum. She'd say things once. Maybe it wasn't like your mum. Like my dad, say things once. After that, whack. That's not very politically correct in this environment, is it? But I grew up in the 70s. When it was okay to discipline your child with physical discipline. And now I have this disorder as an adult. It's called respect. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Once you read a whole bunch of scripture like that and you see the word therefore, there's a change, there's a transition. As a result of this, now this. Are you ready for it? Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. I love the fact there that there's been a clear declaration made over our lives that I am no longer obligated to fulfill the desires of my sinful nature. I'm no longer in a defeatist position, in a victim place where I just say, well, I just can't help it, I'm human. I just can't help it, I'm weak. I now have on the inside of me the Spirit of God that has freed me, liberated me from this power of obligation towards sin. I now have this sense and tendency towards holy living. I will make mistakes. I will trip and fall, but I'll get up again. Hello, somebody. And so just three kind of simple things tonight, and you're probably going to go, oh, no, not this again, but this is the stuff that works. We need to understand, especially when we're talking about baptism. Baptism, the main thought that the Bible brings about baptism is this thought of saturation, this thought of immersion, that actually you were designed by God to take on the nature of the substance that surrounds you. You were designed by God to go into a positive environment and take on positivity. But it also works in the reverse. You go into a negative environment, and I guarantee you stay in that environment long enough and you're going to become negative. You got to accept this. When God wants to bring a blessing into your life, He brings a person. I guarantee you, if you do an audit of your life and look at the blessings in your life, every single one of them somehow, some way will be connected to a person that God used to bring that blessing in. But here's the flip side of that. If the enemy wants to rob you, guess what he brings into your life? A person. That's why Scripture talks to us about watching out for wolves in sheep's clothing. People that look right, smell right, but they stink on the inside. And that's not to make people enemies. That's just to have a little bit of wisdom about us, a little bit of cunningness about us, a little bit of street smart about us. Hello. You can love from a distance those that are maybe tending towards that zone, but you don't bring them in close. You don't go into covenant relationship with them, do you? You certainly wouldn't go into business with them. I've done it once or twice. They happened to call themselves Christians at the time, and I thought that was enough. Oops, I stepped over the line. So what is it? What does it look like to let the Holy Spirit control your mind? I think, number one, you can't do that without praying before you act. That's why daily prayer is so essential. And I know this is kind of like a pastor's soapbox in that sense, but seriously, seeking God's will does not happen without prayer. It doesn't just automatically fall upon you. You've got to seek after it. Knowing God's wisdom doesn't happen without prayer. I constantly find myself in a place whereby I have to seek God for every single decision I make, because the further you go in life, the more responsibility you hold. This week, early on Monday, I got a phone call and it came in. It was a kind of situation where my wife and I had to talk about it, responsibility that was going to be put on our lap. And when I first got the call, I got off the phone and said to my wife, my immediate thought is, no, we're not going to do this thing. We're not going to take this on. It just doesn't feel right. That was in my head straight away. And we didn't talk after that. We kind of agreed that that's the zone it was sitting in. But then I got a bunch of people that are close to me to pray, and I talked to some people and said, just kind of pray, will you? We're going to commit this thing to prayer. We got up the next morning, didn't talk again, but went to our places of prayer. Ended up in the offices here in a meeting. We haven't discussed what's going on. And in the meeting, my wife pops out, we weren't going to consider this thing, but I think we should. I prayed this morning. I went, oh no, she prayed. It's okay, she prayed, but I prayed too. And when I went to that place of prayer on Tuesday morning, overnight, God shifted my heart and perspective and kind of gone, be open to maybe the possibility here. Can I say what I do as a pastor is no different to what you have to do in the marketplace with your job, with your contract, with your profession, with decisions you're making? Don't just make the decision up here. Get into the habit, get into the lifestyle of seeking God's will in prayer, seeking the wisdom of God through prayer. You know what? The crazy thing is, I was talking to a colleague a day or so later than that about the process that now I'd committed myself to. I said to him, I said, man, I thought this thing was going to be simple. I was just going to ring back and say no. Problem off my desk. I says, why on earth do we pray? Now my whole heart's shifted and I think it's God and I'm going to do a process, and that just means more responsibility. And then I have to go to the next phase, which is not, because you see, we've got to allow. It says there, do not let your sinful nature dominate you. But at the same time, it says, let the Holy Spirit control your thoughts. That ain't easy. That takes some kind of surrender. That takes some kind of praying and opening up your heart and mind to what God might say in that moment. And that's where we got to not just pray before we act, but we've got to go to the Word before we go to work. Now, I'm not saying about you've got to go and go to the Bible before you drive out the driveway and go to work, but I want to say that before we commit to a work, we've got to know that the Word has signed off on it for us, that has given us some guidance. The Bible says that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I do believe that whether you're in business, in profession, wherever you are in the marketplace, that there is a guiding word from God for you in your current season. That was such a positive thought. I thought I was going to get more response on that. But the problem is, we live in a very fast-moving world where I just get so ticked off on the inside when it goes from 4G to 3G on my phone, because that download speed is so flipping slow. But when it comes to the thing of things of God, I find that He kind of moves on dial-up. It's like, duck, duck, duck. I still get that crazy, oh, well, that was a good snort. Get that crazy sound before you even get a connection, and then once you've got it a sec, oh yeah, I'll download that, and then it takes flipping hours to download. You can't fast track the things of God, but I want to tell you, once it's downloaded to you, everything shifts. I just want like super fast 4G. Boom, give it to me, God. Now I can run with it. Surely there's an app for that, God. But it takes time to seek. It takes time to meditate and search the Scriptures for direction. It's the thing that saturates our soul so that our soul, our mind, can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You've got to pray before you act. You've got to go to the Word before you go to work. Is that helpful for somebody? And then finally, I think you've got to move into the zone where your life is a personal life of worship. Did he? Beautiful wedding on Friday for Craney and Andrea, and it was in a very old cathedral down there in Mandurah on the corner of that main street.
And I'll stand there kind of looking at the stained glass windows and just the beauty of it all around and going, gee, we don't have any of that. And then I got reminded that whilst that is beautiful and I'm not against it, the actual house that God is building is a house that's full of prayer. It's a house that's full of praise. But it actually says that God is seeking a kind of people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we are known as those crazy Pentecostals that pray that crazy language, and that's just because we're not understood from a scriptural point of view. And I certainly am one of those people that pray in a spiritual language that I did not learn naturally, was given to me supernaturally. But this life of worship that God has called us to is where we worship him in spirit and in truth. I think another way of saying that is with authenticity. That you're not the holy Rollo on a Sunday and a cursing Christian on a Monday. Somebody said to me the other day, did you use the F-bomb? I can't remember what it was. Wow, did you pop out the F-bomb? I went, what? I don't ever pop out. Gosh, I hope I don't slip it out here. I don't ever pop out the F-bomb. I have a replacement for the F-bomb. It's called flop. Flop comes out often when it needs to, but it's really got nothing to do with the original, just trying to count the letters, four-letter word. It's all about retraining the brain to be controlled by this force called, this person called, the Holy Spirit. And so to do that, we've got to have a life of worship. There's something powerful that happens when your children see you worship, mums and dads. There's something powerful when men worship. Still the most impacting time of worship for me ever in my life was in a high security prison in Africa. With no instruments, just 25 of the most dangerous inmates in a little courtyard with beat bags worshipping the Lord. None of the lights, none of the instruments, just vocal cords expressing love for God with powerful praise and passionate worship. There's something outstandingly beautiful about a woman who worships. God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Can I say that we use songs here and we use a band, but songs are not worship. Oh, I just devastated my team. No, I didn't, because they already know this. Songs are not worship. They're simply avenues and vehicles that help us express worship. There's nothing more powerful than a Christian fully alive before God, running in their lane, and reaching out to others with compassion, with mercy, with an authentic friendship, hand of friendship and love for God. Can I encourage you that as we move into one of the most precarious seasons we've been in a long time, through this plebiscite and into the future, and who knows what we'll have to deal with on the other side of that. Can I say, let's be the kind of people that do our part in allowing the Holy Spirit to control our thoughts and attitudes. Can I pray for you there? Father, I want to thank you right now that your word is a lamp, shines light in dark places. Thank you, God, that you've not left us without hope or purpose or a promise, but God, you've given us the keys to life. We do understand that when you want to bring blessing into our life, you always use a person. We also understand that the enemy will try and deceive us and then rob us by bringing the wrong person across our path. I pray, God, that we'd be the kind of people that would seek after you, look for your wisdom, follow your guide. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.